Oops, there we go. Can you hear me now? I think I got that. It shows me having the mic, so great. Yes, I see your yes. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me. The miniseries, I gave it a title, as Regina requested, and I called it The Awakeness That Is Always Already Here. And that might seem kind of obvious or simple, maybe too simple, but it's actually a very profound mystery that there is always awakeness. It's always happening. It's here right now. In fact, I would ask you, are you, and by the way, this is not a trick question. Are you aware of anything right now? Is there anything present in your awareness? And it's funny, I've asked that question of thousands of people. I've had whole big groups and asked everybody to raise their hand if they were aware of anything right now. And I've never gotten a no. I've never gotten someone that said that they're not aware of anything. Of course, if that was actually true, they wouldn't have heard the question. But still, everybody in the room raised their hand, so I'm assuming they heard the question. So this awareness that's present. And by the way, I just want to be clear, I'm talking about awareness just the way it is right now. So if you happen to be having a very open, expanded awareness, if you've been on this sanctuary group for a while and you're just feeling very open and spacious, that's great. If you are in this moment just contracted, having a little bit of a struggle with your life, and so the idea that there is awareness, awakeness, consciousness that's already here seems kind of distant or abstract. That's fine too. We're going to spend these next four Sundays exploring that whole range of awareness. It turns out that just as a single drop of water is still wet, a single drop of water has all the qualities of water. That is similar in the case of awareness. And by the way, I use words awareness, awakeness, consciousness. I'm a little bit casual with my terminology. I just use them all interchangeably. Awareness always has all of the fundamental qualities of awareness, just like water always has wetness, liquidity, transparency. Water always has those qualities. Even very contracted awareness has the same fundamental qualities. And just to put them out there, the fundamental qualities of awareness are, first of all, that it's aware. I mean, that is it. I actually looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said awareness is the ability to directly know and perceive. And it's interesting, they added on that this could occur without necessarily implying understanding. So even when you're confused, even when you're, not really intellectually knowing at all what's going on, you still are perceiving. And so awareness, consciousness, is always perceiving. It's also always spacious. It is, in fact, it is space itself. Space and awareness are actually the same thing. We use these words, we can use these words interchangeably to point to this aware presence because they're such fundamental qualities. They're always here. Just as, I would challenge you not only to check if you're aware right now, but to go through your week and find out, try and find a moment where you're not aware. And maybe even spend some time trying to turn it off. Good luck with that. And in a similar vein, there is always space. I challenge you again, wherever you go, whatever happens, whatever is present right now, check, is there any space? And it, again, doesn't need to be a lot of space. It doesn't need to be cosmic or expanded or profound. If there is even enough space for your body, that's space. So this space is aware. This awareness is spacious. another fundamental quality of awareness is that it's alive. It's dynamic. It's always moving, shifting, changing, expanding, contracting. It is life itself. It is that which lives. It's that which lives you. And so that's another fundamental quality of awareness. And this one, the next one might be a little more, we'll get into it later in this mini-series, but the next one might be a little less obvious as being fundamental, but this awareness that you are is discriminating. It's inherent in your awareness that it notices differences. And then finally, the last one that we'll kind of explore a lot in this series is that awareness is one. There is just one awareness, one space, one aliveness, one discrimination that's moving through all the apparent bodies and people. And so these are the fundamental qualities we'll explore, and I chose them because they're fundamental. Any time awareness is present, they are present. And it's, there are lots of other qualities of our true nature, of our being, things like peace and joy and love that are obviously capacities, just like awareness, perception is a capacity of our being. There are lots of these other capacities, lots of these other qualities. But the difference is that they're not always present. Or at least for all practical purposes, always present. And so these qualities of awareness are the ones that are always here. Again, I challenge you to find a moment where there's no movement, no aliveness, no space, no awareness, no discrimination. And even if you can't experience oneness in its totality, again, just like that single drop of water, you can, in this moment, feel a connection between your awareness and something else. It might just be you can feel how your awareness and your body are connected. And so, it's a lesser experience of oneness. It's a lesser experience of connection, but it's still there. It's still present in all experiences. Now, the name of this group is Awakening Together. And so I wanted to also talk a little bit about what awakening is in relation to awareness. And very simply, my definition is awakening is any sudden expansion, increase, opening of awareness. When there's suddenly a lot more awareness, then you could call that an awakening. And these awakenings, they can come in all different sizes. There can be really small awakenings, like just, when you realize how to tie your shoes as a kid. that's an expansion of your awareness, the expansion of your capacity is just really small and, ridiculously small. But it can be medium sized. When you become more conscious of, more aware of your emotions, your ego, that can be enlightening. It can be an opening, realization of a much bigger truth. And with that, there is this sense of expansion, sense of opening, sense of a whole new dimension of experience coming into awareness. And so that's an expansion of your awareness. But then there are these truly profound, transformative, and simply huge awakenings. When, for instance, if you do experience a total connection, a total oneness with everything, the effect that experience has on your awareness is that it expands radically. It almost takes you into a whole nother dimension of experience. Or if your usual identification with your body and your mind falls away, that's and also a profound, almost indescribably profound opening or expansion of awareness. Now, most spiritual people that's what they're about. They want to know about these big experiences of awareness. You know, they want to have a big awakening, or maybe they've had some and they want to like figure out how to stay there, how to always be in that incredibly expanded place. And so awakening very naturally and probably appropriately is the focus of a lot of spiritual groups, including this one. I mean, at least going by the title, the name of the group, Awakening Together. Now, that's wonderful. Anytime your awareness is expanded, I highly recommend experiences of expanded awareness. There's nothing wrong with them, that's for sure. You know, when you're having a big experience of awareness, of consciousness, no one has to tell you what these fundamental qualities are, because you're immersed in them. You are experiencing them in such a profound way. It'd be like if you were swimming in the ocean and someone came up to you and said, "Hey, did you know water is wet?" And you would look at them and you go like, "Well, duh, you know, I just got hit by a 6-foot wave and I'm drenched. I didn't think I know that water is wet right now because I'm having a very profound experience of water's wetness." And the same thing is true of our experiences, our relatively expanded experiences of our nature as awareness. These fundamental qualities are obvious in those moments. Now, that all sounds great. It is great. But there's a little twist to the plot. There's a little twist to the whole situation here. And one way to look at it is like it's kind of like a bad news, good news joke. And the bad news, I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is that there's nothing you can do directly to cause a profound expansion of awareness. There's lots you can do that will affect everything you do. Everything that happens will affect your awareness. That's the nature of this perception, this ability to perceive, is that it's affected by everything. That's how we know that there is perception, because the awareness is affected. But there's nothing you can do with your own, through your own effort, through your own doing, that causes a really profound awakening. It's kind of the fundamental challenge of all spiritual seekers, is that there's this thing that they want, that they are interested in, and there's nothing they can do to make it happen. Using the water metaphor, it's similar to how if you wanted to experience a tsunami, you just, for some reason, really wanted to experience a tsunami, you can go to the beach and there's just simply nothing you can do when you get there to cause a tsunami. I mean, you can jump up and down, you can scream, you can chant, you can pray, you can build a big bonfire, you can build a temple to the sea god, and, you know, do all kinds of ceremonies and sacrifices to try to cause a tsunami, and none of that is going to cause a tsunami. It's just this dilemma. It's just this limitation of our kind of human expression, that we are unable to awaken through our own efforts. We're unable to have a spiritual awakening, at least through our own efforts. So that's the bad news. It's kind of a, you know, kind of stuck, you know, kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of dilemma, because you do want to, most people do want to awaken or want to continue to experience the expansion when it happens. And then they quickly find out there's nothing they can do. Now, that's the bad news, but there is also some really, really good news. And the good news is that there's nothing you need to do in order to awaken. It is a natural movement of your true nature as awareness to at times expand and at times expand profoundly. And so, you know, and an even better news, an even better piece of news in this context is that unlike a tsunami, going to the beach to try to experience a tsunami, this awakening isn't quite that rare. It's actually something that happens, and to lesser or greater degrees, happens often in just about everyone's life at some point. And even better piece of news is that it just seems like right now there is a greater potential for this kind of spontaneous, profound expansion of awareness. It just seems to be it's like we're in tsunami season when it comes to the spiritual world right now, the world that we live in, that a lot more of these spiritual tsunamis are reaching a whole lot more people. So, like I said, this is all good news in that, it is something you can just wait, just be patient, be curious, be present, and it will come sooner or later. Now, we can say all of that it's a spontaneous thing, there's nothing you can do, nothing you need to do, and yet in some sense we are doing creatures. It's like we still, I can explain this over and over again, and then the next question always is, okay, but what do I do? It's like, okay, there's nothing I can do, but tell me what to do anyways. And so I think most spiritual techniques and practices, they're kind of like a bait and switch trick, it's like this funny thing where they point you to something, and it's, the purpose is just to get you to pay a lot of attention. And so they point you to notice presence, notice the movements of awareness, notice these qualities. That's what I'm kind of doing here. And going to be doing over these next 4 weeks is inviting you to really pay attention to the qualities, these fundamental qualities of awareness, even when it's not expanding, even when it's just ridiculously ordinary awareness. I could give a million examples, but when you're just sharpening a pencil or eating your breakfast and, planning your day, or a thought, a feeling, a sensation, something's just passing through awareness and you're noticing it, and, it's not like profound, and, it may even be painful or difficult or uncomfortable, or it might be very neutral, or it might be pleasant, but it's not a profound spiritual awakening. It's just another moment in your day. And so that's the invitation here. The invitation is to pay attention to awareness, however it is, expanded, contracted, cosmic, minuscule, the whole range of experiences of this mystery called awareness. There's a quote from Ramana Maharshi where he said, "Find out what is immediate and intimate instead of trying to find out what is distant and unknown." Find out what is immediate and intimate. And the awareness that's hearing these words right now is immediate. It's intimate. It's not something distant. It's not something truly unknown, even if conceptually you don't have a lot of ideas about it. You can't deny that it's here. You can't deny that you are having awareness in this moment. Now, before I go a little further into that, I want to clarify one thing. I'm using these words, awareness, awakeness, spaciousness, aliveness, discrimination, oneness. I'm using them as words for what you are. what is our true nature, what we really are, what we really exist as in every moment. Now, it turns out that the totality of that, the totality of what you are in this moment, actually includes everything. Every quality, every manifestation, every experience, every object, every thought, every emotion, every sensation, and that which is beyond all of those things. So ultimately, our true nature, it extends beyond awareness. So when I say that awareness is fundamental and it's always present in every manifestation of our true nature, in every manifestation of being, of the mystery of existence itself. But it also is possible when you, again, have a really, really big awakening. It's hard to even call it that because it takes you beyond awakeness itself. A true limitless expansion of this being that we are. That takes you beyond even these qualities, even these fundamental qualities. Now it's good to just kind of hold that in mind so that you don't get hung up if that happens. You know, it's like, oh, that's okay if awareness actually goes away. If you come out of, in fact, the only time you can really even have anything to say about an experience like that is when you come out, because the experience itself is empty of all qualities, empty even of awareness. Not usually a big problem for most people on a daily basis, and so that's why in this series I'm focusing more on these fundamental qualities of awareness and space and aliveness, because you know 99% of the time that's what you're doing, that's what's here, that's the experience. That it turns out, in spite of this emphasis on the big experiences, it turns out that all experiences of awareness are worthy of exploration for its own sake. It doesn't have to be big to be a profound and radical mystery. I mean, what is this? What makes it like possible that you're hearing these words? It's like this giant mystery that's always right here in every little ordinary moment. And because of that innate capacity of perception, of awareness, of awakeness, of spaciousness, which again, you know, in order to have experience, it has to be space. You have to have a place. You have to have room for the experience. So it's like inherent in every experience is this spaciousness. And again, if it's an experience, it's alive, it's moving, it's manifesting, it's changing constantly. The source, that ultimate reality, is actually complete stillness, complete silence. Nothing, you know, it's not only a place where nothing ever happens, it's a place where nothing has ever happened. But here in the world of manifestation, it's a happening place. Everything's always happening. There's always something happening. There's always some, you know, if we talk about expansions and contractions of awareness, one thing you can start to notice right away is that it is always either expanding or contracting. It doesn't actually hold still. It's very dynamic. It just responds to whatever is present. And it perceives whatever is present. And one way of, well, it's actually a way of defining our soul. My favorite definition of the soul is that the soul is the sum total of all experiences. The soul is the sum total of all, everything in awareness, everything that appears in the space of this existence. This alive oneness, spaciousness, awareness, everything that happens in it, even in the contracted experience of awareness, adds to your soul. It's it's kind of a nice definition, because you don't have to worry about like something harming your soul. If everything adds to it, hey, bring it on. There's only it's like a math problem with only addition. There's never a subtraction. In fact, that is one of the aspects of our true nature, is that it's affected by everything. That's why we call it awareness. But it cannot be harmed by anything. You know, your car, your bicycle, your body, those things can be harmed. Those things can be affected in a way where the effect is permanent. And that's when we would say that we were harmed. You know, if you bang your elbow and a few minutes later you can't feel anything, it seems to be working just fine, then you say, oh good, I didn't harm you. You know, like I said, unfortunately with an elbow you can do harm. You can, you know, bang your elbow so bad it never straightens again or something like that. But with your soul, with your essence, with your being, with awareness itself, you can't harm it. All effects come and go. All effects are temporary. So at some point, you know, your soul stretches out its arm and says, oh good, I didn't harm anything. I didn't break anything. You can't break anything in the soul. You can't break anything in awareness. So that is another little piece of good news, is that you can dive in to these ordinary and or expanded experiences of awareness and know that, you know, and even dive into the contracted and painful and difficult and challenging and horrible experiences, because your essence, this awareness itself, is not going to be harmed. So let's dive in a little bit more experientially into the awareness that's here. It's not a thing. It's a funny thing to try to be aware of awareness, because you don't actually, you more catch the aroma of it, you more catch the effect of it, the undeniable presence of it, without actually being able to ever point to it and say, oh, right there it is, oh, I just saw it, oh, that was awareness, I just saw it go through the room or something like that. It's more in the simple fact that there is perception. It's kind of like some mythical animal living in the woods that you never actually see, but you see a lot of signs that it's passed that way. You know, there's poop or scat, you know, which is, you know, it's not some other animal, you know, this is like some strange animal that you've never seen. But you know it must exist, because there it is. There is the sun. So it's a challenging thing to do this kind of exploration of space. But it's simple if you just let go of the needing it to be a thing, and also needing it to have a specific location. It is space itself. That is another quality of that which is aware. So it can actually move into and out of any space or location. And again, if you're having an out-of-body experience, you're having a cosmic experience, your awareness has moved into, you know, a totally different location than your body, this is obvious. No one has to tell you that awareness can move in and out of any space or location, because that's your experience in the moment. But I'd like to bring it again back down to what includes our kind of ordinary every moment experience and demonstrate this. So I would ask you, and again, without trying to grasp it or pin it down, just feel into it and get a sense where is your awareness, your present moment awareness, however expanded, contracted, whatever it's like, whatever you are aware of, probably includes my voice at least at moments unless you space out for a bit. But even if you do, you're still aware of something else. Where is awareness located right now? what does it seem like awareness is present? Is it in the room, in the same room that you're in? Is it in your body? And don't worry about, you know, again, getting it exactly right. Just get a general sense, like, huh, is it in your head? Does it seem more to be somewhere located in or around your head? Or is it flowing from somewhere else? Is it flowing from your whole body? Is it like a whole body awareness in this moment? Is there a strong physical component to your awareness? Strong sensory component of the body, so that it seems like awareness, the source of awareness, is located in a bigger space of your body. Now, whatever you noticed, whatever vague or specific sense you have of where awareness is generally located right now, I want to ask you a funny question. From where did you notice where awareness is located? It's like, did you actually observe that felt sense of awareness from the same place that you just identified awareness as being? Or was it even like just a little slightly off to the side, or a little step back, or a little bit, you know, from a little bit bigger kind of space? Did you have to like step aside in your, you know, just kind of like we sometimes step back and look at the situation with our awareness? In order to notice what's happening right now in awareness, you might also notice that you kind of have to step back, or step to the side, or just slightly shift the angle of your perception. And say, oh yeah, I can kind of feel awareness in my head, you know, kind of noticing the awareness there in my head. But even if that noticing is in your head, it might be from a little further back in your head, or from a little bit to the side, or a little bit above. Now, that might not seem, I mean, that's not exactly like an out-of-body experience where you get to go, you know, traveling around the cosmos. But what a strange thing that you could shift even that far in your awareness. That you notice it as, you know, again, even if you're noticing a very big source of awareness, does it get bigger when you pay attention to awareness itself? And now, you know, if you really want to play with this kind of exploration, you can ask, where did you notice the place that you were noticing where awareness was? You know, it's like, does that even happen again when I ask you that second question? Where did you notice the place where awareness was flowing from? You may have to, again, shift again and say, oh, yeah, where was I just looking from just now to try and notice where I was seeing awareness from? And so you can start to actually maybe start to catch how awareness shifts around. Now, that's these are very subtle shifts. Again, if it's a big shift, you'll start you know no one has to tell you when you're out of your body that you're out of your body, especially if you're looking down on your body. But these subtle shifts are more subtle, and yet they can be very profound. Very, very powerful. And again, to give a more experiential sense of that, I'd like to invite you to do a very simple experiment. We're going to play with, it's just a experiment, not something you have to worry about doing it right. Just a game to see what it would be like to move awareness down into your heart. And again, there's all varying degrees of this, but a lot of times our awareness tends to localize in the head. That's where thoughts are happening. That's where our eyeballs are. That's where our ears are. That's where, our tongue, our nose, all these sensory organs are actually located in the head. There also are sensory capacities in the rest of the body, but there's so much up in our head, including that strange, mysterious thing called thought, that awareness tends to kind of gather there, tends to localize there. It just gets habitual to look out from your head. And so I'd like to, as an experiment, just to see what happens, invite you to, it actually helps because of those eyeballs up there in your head, it can help to do this experiment with your eyes closed. So if you're willing, you can just gently close your eyes. And then it also can help to give yourself something very direct to experience. And a simple way to do that is just to place your hand over your heart. So if you just put one of your hands right there over your heart, and you can feel it. Just notice first again, there's that same old awareness. Noticing the pressure of your hand against the outside of your chest. But now drop down and experience that same pressure, that same sensation, that same presence of your hand from just behind your hand, just underneath your hand. Just drop down into the heart and feel your hand. It's not really any more complicated than that. It may be that you're able to drop a little bit of awareness or a lot of awareness, just depending on what kinds of experiences you've had with looking from the heart, sensing from the heart, being in the heart. But even if just a little bit of your awareness seems to be now localized down in your chest, in that area of your heart, your physical heart, your subtle heart. And just notice your hand. Just feel your hand. And take a moment to whatever degree, again, there's no right or wrong, just to whatever degree, sense what else is present. From that same place, from down here in the heart. So you can hear my words, hear my voice, from right down here in the heart. And whatever other sounds are present, just listen from the heart. And whatever other sensory experiences are present, like the other sensations throughout your body. Just feel your body from here in your heart. There's no right or wrong way to experience this, but you may just notice that there's a different quality awareness naturally has when it flows from the heart. It's more, most people report it as being more open, more spacious, a little bit more expanded, softer, gentler, more tender. Those are all words that you might be experiencing. It's not better or worse. It's just a different, it's like tuning a different radio station, different channel. Only this is like tuning a whole different radio, using a whole different radio, a much more rich and multi-channel radio that takes in a much, much richer signal. And so that's a simple experience. If you had only a slight experience of what I was speaking about, you might experiment some more, play with it, check it out. If you had, you know, had a, found it was fairly easy to drop down in your heart, you can even right now stay there. You can experiment with it throughout your day. Find out what happens if you, you know, drop into your heart while you're washing the dishes, or drop into your heart when you're getting pulled into an argument, or drop into your heart when you're answering emails. Just notice what effects it has. It can't help but change the experience to some degree. So that's the kind of experiment that is playing with just ordinary, everyday, here and now awareness. It doesn't, you know, even if you're having a big spiritual experience, you can drop in your heart and see what happens if you do that. But it doesn't take a big spiritual experience to start to find and discover and explore all the range of capacities of this always present awareness. And you can, you know, you can go wild with this stuff, you know, you can experiment, play as much as you want, as little as you want. It also, just to point, I want to leave a little time here for some questions if that's something that arises, but you don't have to stop with just dropping into your heart. You can also drop awareness into your belly, into what the martial artists call the hara, which is, you know, the lower abdomen, the space is just a little bit beneath your belly button. And when you drop awareness down there and experience the room, experience other people, experience your own body, that's a whole nother, like, dimension or possibility in ordinary everyday awareness. The reason martial artists do it is that it taps into a whole, at times almost supernatural set of, you know, I don't want to exaggerate, but a very profound set of capacities. I studied a certain kind of Aikido for years where if you drop into your belly like that, you can make your arm unbendable, where even, you know, a NFL linebacker won't be able to bend your arm. Or you can make your body so grounded and so centered that three large men won't be able to pick up a 92-pound woman. My Aikido teacher was part of a group that the person who developed this form of Aikido was up on stage, and he was on a four-legged chair, and he tilted the chair back so it was just on two legs and lifted his feet off the ground onto a rung of the chair. So he was balancing on two rungs of the chair with no his feet not touching the ground. And then my teacher, my individual teacher, and two other large men tried to push him over. And they were incapable of pushing him over. So, you know, that's just a taste, a little enticement to explore what would it be like to be aware from your belly. And then the last two things I'll mention real quickly. By the way, a lot of this is in a free ebook you can get on my website, that endless-satsang.com that Regina mentioned. The free ebook is called Living from the Heart. But you can be aware from your heart, your belly, and your mind. You can be aware from two at a time, all three. And you can be aware from infinite space itself. So you can be aware from your whole body, from the whole room, from the whole solar system, from the infinite. Just, it's actually fairly easy to move your awareness as you get the hang of this. And then, you know, a nice side effect of playing like this is that you're present if a big tsunami comes along and takes you to that you know, beyond any concept you had of what was possible in your sense of being, in your present moment experience. So, I hope that everybody at least got a little taste, a little flavor of it. And if not, you know, play some more. See if you can catch a sense of how awareness shifts when it changes location. And I will refer now to this room and see if there's any specific questions, anything that like came up that you were like, oh, you know, I wish I could ask them more about that or something of that sort. I'll just give it a second or two, a minute or two here. You can either raise your hand or type something. And those of you who are just listening and don't have an ability to type or ask a question, there are instructions on that page of how to actually enter into the, it's called Pal Talk, and you know, this maybe next time you could be present in a way where you could ask a question. Well, so far there aren't any questions, but I'll keep checking. You know, sometimes when you drop people into their heart and belly and into the room and space beyond, there aren't a lot of questions here so far. You're just not so up there in your head anymore where all the thoughts are happening, so the questions get kind of quiet. So I'll just say a little bit more about another why, also what, and how. Somebody typed. Why, you know, I always find why is not such a profound question because, you know, you, whatever answer you come up with, you just make it up anyways. It's just, you're making it up for your own enjoyment. And what and how, like I said, I gave, you know, a little bit of instruction, but there's a whole lot more in that. Regina typed it in the name of the book, Living from the Heart. So that gives you a lot more to play with in that book. So the other thing I can speak about, since we have a little bit more time, is the quality of aliveness. I said awareness actually always is expanding or contracting, and actually is always shifting, moving, you know, the place it's moving from and the place it's flowing to. Awareness is always noticing something else, moving. And that movement is, again, another sign that aliveness, it is what is alive, is another sign of that wild, you know, animal. By tracking it, by paying attention to that sign. I mean, imagine if you were hiking in the Grand Tetons and you come around the corner on the trail, and there's this big pile of steaming hot poop. And it's like, oh, you know, you can't see it. You can't even hear it right in that moment. But boy, you know there's a bear. It's not very far away. And so you become curious, like, and you might even, you know, make some noise so the bear knows that you're there. You know, they recommend in the Grand Tetons that you put a bell on your hiking stick so that the bears hear you coming before you hear them coming. You don't want to surprise a bear on the trail. So that's the, you know, that sometimes is the best we can do when we want to explore these fundamental qualities, is to, because they're subtle. You know, awareness is not a thing. It's kind of hard to focus awareness on it because it's always moving, changing. Space, the spaciousness, the simple reality that there's room for everything. When you look around right now, there's whatever you can see or hear or feel is happening in space. But can you see or hear or feel space? No. You can only infer. Just like you infer that there's a bear somewhere in your body. You can only infer that there must be space. Since you can't really get a hold of it. You can't touch it. But the fact that you can move your hand through this place that movement happens, you can infer that there's space. So even at this very fundamental level, we're dealing with something actually much more mysterious, something undefinable, something unnameable, really. And we give it all kinds of names. We give it, you know, I like names that are hard to define, because that's really seems somehow appropriate. If you can't define it, then you call it something like the mystery. Well, what's that? I mean, it's not, you know, I know what a bear looks like. I don't know what a mystery looks like. But it's here. There's this mystery of space. It may not be a cosmic scale mystery in this moment. It may not be an ocean of awareness. But there's at least a drop of awareness. There's at least a drop. And therefore, again, you can infer that there is a drop of mystery. There is a little bit of mystery. And possibly not that little a bit. If you're aware of more than just a little bit, your awareness is kind of a little bit expanded, a bit open. If you're sensing the space all around you, if you're feeling, I know someone said something about a buzzing, that they experience presence as a buzzing. You know, if you're experiencing aliveness, if you happen to be experiencing a little bit more than the ordinary amount of aliveness, that's a sign. Like the difference between an old pile of bear poop and a fresh, steaming, hot pile of bear poop. You know, when you get closer, the spaciousness, the sense of awakeness, the sense of aliveness, the clarity of discrimination, the ability to finally discriminate, that all increases the sense of connection or oneness. It increases, even if it's not taking you tsunami-like into a big unimaginable experience, or taking you beyond experience itself into the absolute, into the ultimate true nature. It still is worth taking note, paying attention. You know, one of the great things about paying attention like this is that then you're present, you're paying attention. If a tsunami does come, if an awakening does happen, I put this in the course description, but my teacher, Neelam, she said it very poetically. She said, you never know when grace will come for a visit. And that's a nice word for this spontaneous quality of awakening, is that it's grace. It's a function of grace. It's not a function of your doing. And so she said, you never know when grace will come for a visit. And then she paused and she said, but it's a good idea to be home when she does. And this is the great, side effect of paying attention to ordinary, all different sizes and qualities of awareness. It's your home. You're paying attention. You're sensing into awareness when awakening happens. You're able to really fully take in that expansion. And if it in the next moment it withdraws, it pulls back, grace steps back a little bit, then that's what's happening. It can be exquisite, that longing that appears after an awakening, to somehow dissolve back into it. Which again is not something you can do, but you can pay attention so that when she comes back and lightly knocks on the door, you're there, you're home. It doesn't cause the awakening, it just means you're available for it. So I see there's like just 2 minutes left. I want to leave a little space in case I don't know, Regina, or if someone else needs to say anything just before we close. I look forward to sharing like this again next Sunday. Anyone that wants to join in, that would be wonderful. So thanks for having me, and much gratitude here for this opportunity. And I will unlock my...
Thank you, Nirmala. Thank you very much. About 2 hours before you were here, we were talking about dating God. and that was... noticing awareness, even when cleaning the shower, whatever we were doing. And I think that the way you spoke to that was really beautiful. You're right. People make a really big deal out of these big expanded awareness experiences. And you're saying, do you have her phone number? Whose phone number? I must have missed something. Oh, God. God, I get it. Yeah, no, dating God is yeah. Yeah, dating God is exactly what you were talking about. Yeah, it was just paying attention to awareness all the time. And I love playing with awareness and making a game out of it. And, that's what we were talking about. So, and the way you spoke about it is so beautiful, because you really... I think in my mind, you really pointed to, we don't need to wait for the big expanded experiences. This experience right here, right now, whatever it is, whether it's something that the mind would judge as good or whether it's something that the mind would judge as bad, whether it feels open or whether it feels constricted, the awareness is still here and we can still pay attention and notice it. And and again, you treat it like a game. Where is the awareness? Can I find the awareness? If I think I found the awareness, even if I think I found it in the head, then where am I looking from when I see the awareness in the head? All of these kinds of games are great. So I want to thank you very much for coming. Also, I would like to remind everyone that we do accept donations for our mini-series guest teachers. We have a special link, which I am putting in the room right now. But if you happen to be listening to the audio or listening on the radio, you can go to awakening-together.org, click on the donate menu, and then you'll see an option for the current mini-series. Click on that page and donate from there. And 100% of the donations, minus the PayPal fee, will go directly to Nirmala. We don't keep any of the money. We just like to pass it on. PayPal recently changed the way they did their buttons. Used to, when I created a button, I could just label it and say, this is for the mini series. And then when it came in, there was an automatic field on the receipt that told us that it was for the mini series. They just changed that like at the end of last week, and that field no longer appears. So when you go to donate, you'll notice I've added an instruction. It's in red, asking you to type it in. When you verify your donation, there'll be a little field there. And you can just type in that it was for the mini-series. If not, I have another way of finding out. It's just a little extra work I have to go through. So if you could just type that in, that's very helpful. And then we're working with PayPal to see if they'll put that field back on the receipt. but again, Nirmala, thank you very much. And we look forward to playing with awareness or dating God with you for 3 more weeks. And now it is time for our contemplation of the daily quote. And Larry leads that for us, Larry Laughan. So, Larry, I am going to turn the mic over to you.